Welcome to the Disciple Making Leader Podcast, your resource for exploring the world of disciple making and leadership within the church. Discover Jesus' strategy for raising up leaders, growing the church, and multiplying a movement. Let's jump into today's episode and explore the power of a disciple making leader.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader Podcast. Today, I am your host, Ben Borgman, the Executive Director of Disciple First, and we're really just an organization that exists to empower you as a disciple-making leader to make and multiply disciples like Jesus. And so we're just everything about the local church. We love the local church and encouraging you as you make disciples like Jesus. And so today on the conversation, we've got two of my favorite disciple-making leaders. We've got Glenn Underhill over there on the other side of my table right in front of me.
Yeah, cue the applause.
Stingham jackets. Just putting a little love out there for my HPU jackets.
Alma mater over there. We're just glad you're not sharing about Nacho Libre.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we won't go there for this episode.
We'll save that
for another episode.
Don't open that door.
The theology of Nacho Libre. Yes. See, now I'm just all thrown off. Thanks, Glenn. I've got you talking about baptizing people in the Nacho voice in my head now. So it's this episode is wasted. No,
it's never wasted when you talk about Nacho. What do you
think? And to my left, we've got Pastor Craig Etheridge keeping. He's the only adult in here.
I'm the adult at the table, trying to calm you boys down.
Hey, now wait a second here.
Hey, Reckham Tech. if we're repping our alma mater, you know, here we go.
Yeah. Yep. Nobody knows. If I say Tech, I mean a different Tech. My Tech was Louisiana Tech.
That's a La Tech.
La Tech. La the Bulldogs.
We sick them. Georgia Tech.
No, we sick them. Yeah. We didn't have school spirit when I was there.
That's right. It didn't exist.
Everybody was LSU fans.
Anyway,
so we're going to talk. We're going to get this train back on the tracks, I promise, and make it worth your time as you're listening. And really what we're going to talk about today is a disciple-making leader really is about, you know, serving out of the overflow, but also investing their life in others. And investment and multiplication is, you know, especially for a lifetime or over a long season, has kind of its ebbs and flows and really can be difficult and just, you know, kind of, you know, frustrating at times, even as you're investing your life in other people and kind of have ups and downs. And, you know, so I was speaking of our alma mater, and, you know, my degree was in forestry, wildlife. And so, you know, if you're talking about fruit bearing, even in trees, like an apple tree, it takes on average about 8 years for an apple tree to mature enough to bear fruit. And that's even if, you know, you don't have storms and, you know, ice storms and cold and disease and all that. So, I mean, fruit bearing, even in trees, can be arduous and difficult and takes a long time. So even more so, I think, when we're talking about spiritual fruit, because we're dealing with people and you know, the ebbs and flows of life and all the things that come with that. So it's not just this straight line. It's everything's happy-go-lucky. But in fruit bearing, that's where joy is. Mm. And so that's really what we're going to talk about today is, you know, is staying at it and motivating multipliers in your church. How do you keep people really press forward and for the long term, staying encouraged, stay in the game of making and multiplying disciples like Jesus. So, Glenn, I want you to kind of kick us off here in this conversation. At a high level, really, what would you say contributes to a person staying at making multiplying disciples for the long term, or maybe fading out? What do you think that key is? It's the main contributor.
Oh, wow. So, you know, I think there's a lot of things when I think about it. I think motivation as a definition is really a compelling reason or reasons for doing something, right? I think I'm motivated, I'm compelled, and there's a something attached to that really helps me stay there. You know, so I think sometimes what though can create demotivation, obviously, is sometimes when there's insufficient motivation, is things aren't compelling enough, or what I even think is even a greater is that there's probably some internal factors and external factors that are going along the way. What I mean by that is sometimes internally, someone becomes demotivated as a disciple maker because they're the fear of the people I'm investing my life into. Well, what if they do this or what if they do that? Or the fear of, hey, I don't feel adequate enough to pour my life into somebody else, or I've perhaps had a not so good experience in my last group.
Yeah.
That, man, there's just all this, well, it's just obviously me. I'm just not up to it. I mean, we have high caliber guys that are working as executives at our church and women. And it makes me laugh sometimes because they're like, I can't do it. I'm like, man, you do some amazing things to move the ball down the line as an executive, but you get into some of these spiritual internal things and it can really wipe them out.
Yeah.
Then on the external, sometimes it's the external things that like a job change. I have to move or I've taken on more responsibility or a new position, and so my time is different. Seasons of life, boy, I see this one a lot as an external thing. So maybe as when we were young and unmarried and didn't have kids, but then as our kids get older, I even in our own life, my adjustments of how I had to do things through the seasons of my mm-hmm. life, and now I'm coming an empty nester, so I'm having a little bit more opportunity to do some things differently when my kids were little than when my kids were like in their high school and middle school time frames, right? So there's just, I think motivation can kind of come from both of those factors, external factors and internal factors yeah. that affect someone's ability to be motivated, because it's just, I have other things competing. I love what A.W. Tozer said. He said, we may want God. In other words, we may even want the things of God, but we want something else more. We get what we want the most. Mm. And I think that's, just the nature of it. And so as a disciple-making leader, a part of our role is to continually help move our disciple-makers, our multipliers, to stay motivated, but also come to a place where initially they need that extra emotional help and support and encouragement, but also to a place where then they can eventually, it just comes out of the overflow.
Yeah.
And that's where I really want to get guys to mm-hmm. and where we should want to get people to. But it yeah. does take a little bit to get there.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that comes out of just a combination. I think when people get there, it's because they have a conviction. They have a deep-seated commitment. And I think they have a strong sense of urgency.
Yeah. Craig, you've been, one thing I admire about you and your example, and you as well, Glenn, but specifically for you, Craig, the consistency you have, you've always have people that you're investing in. Not because you're a pastor, not because, of what you do for your job, but because you're a disciple of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so whether they're right, new believer, hey, maybe they haven't crossed the line of faith yet, or they're a businessman that's really wanting more, you've been consistent for a pretty long time of really investing your life, 20 plus years.
Right.
For you, what's been key to stay motivated?
Well, I think that at the end of the day, I'm going to give an account for my life to the Lord Jesus. It's not a motivation of fear in any way, but it is a reality that I'm good. This is not my time. It's God's time, and I have to be a good steward of the time that God has given me. And I don't know how long that's going to be. I mean, he's given me a lot longer than I probably thought I would get. And so I think I need to be faithful with what I have, because I'm going to stand before the Lord in it. I was just thinking about when Glenn was sharing, I was thinking about 2 Timothy 2. He said, share in the sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled with concerns of the civilian life. He seeks to please his commanding officer. Also, anyone who competes as an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to get a share of the crop. He gives you these illustrations, a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think what he's saying here is what keeps us off course. A soldier can't be distracted. right? So your distraction from it, you know, you're just getting involved in other things or get busy, and now all of a sudden you're not focused like the soldier that knows his mission, is really focused. He's not getting entangled in these other affairs. So I think distraction can inhibit people. You know, the athlete, he was deluded in the sense that he's not playing according to the rules, right? So he gets dropped off the team. And I think internal sin can do that for us. If we become deluded just in our own heart and mind spiritually, that can keep you from, you know, moving forward. And then the farmer, you know, he farming's hard, man. I grew up in a farming community, and it's just, you know, it's very mundane work, and you're working in hopes that you're going to get a crop, and it's easy to get discouraged. And I think a discouragement is another thing that hinders people from really staying with it.
Yeah.
Discouragement, distraction, you know, their own personal deluded in sin in some regard. Or disqualification. So I think that these are the things that hinder people. And I have to fight against all those in my own life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm susceptible to that just like everybody else. And so I have to constantly come back to, this is a commitment that I'm making because I really believe. Yeah, I met with my guys this morning. And as we got it, we stood up and said, hey, let's all get together. We all grabbed shoulders and we prayed for each other. And I said, guys, when you invest in men, you are investing in generations. Mm. Not just men.
Yeah.
The generations that follow behind them. Mm. Never forget that. You are investing in the generations. Mm. So, you know, to me, that's what keeps me in the game. I'm investing in generations. And I may not see until heaven, you know, the full impact of that.
Yeah. Yep. Keeping our eyes up.
That's right.
Lift up your eyes, right?
That's right.
So I love this. So that's a real personal look. What's going on with you, with an individual multiplier? But as disciple-making leaders, Glenn and Craig, you guys leave it at an organization level, higher level. In what ways, what are some key steps maybe that you keep as an organization, you're helping the multipliers or the groups of multipliers in your church, here at Cross Creek? What are some ways that you say, hey, these are ways that we really need to continue to encourage multipliers in our church?
Yeah, I think we would look at maybe five things that, and there obviously can be a whole lot more, but these five steps really are what I would call simple. I like things simple and just
and
easy to do, right? Easy to duplicate because then it makes it transferable. But you can do this on an individual basis. You can even do this in groups. But I think the very first thing is really a we've been talking about this on earlier episodes, this idea of casting vision, but a compelling vision. In other words, clearly being able to constantly articulate this idea of making and multiplying disciples like Jesus, and that we get to play a part of a small part of that, you know, world's greatest cause of really being a part of the Great Commission. And, you know, then this idea of just the foundation, the biblical foundation, that biblical foundation then has an impact on people. It has an impact on our community. It has an impact in our church. So, you know, I think it starts with being able to just really have a compelling vision, and that's built around, you know, I like when I have guys that are kind of fanning out a little bit, I love for them to get around and hear stories of what God is doing. Yeah. And hear stories of how lives are being changed. When I see a life changed or I hear about it, I want to be a part of that. And I think that stirs this, okay, I can stay at it a little bit longer because I that's what I signed up for, so to speak, right?
Right, right. Yeah. And you know, I was just going to jump in and say, I think, Glenn, that, you know, you do such a great job of casting that vision. And I think vision kind of cuts through the distraction a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It kind of resets, you know, like, oh, yeah, that's what really matters, you right. know? And like I said, I just met with my guys this morning, and they were really talking about how their careers are so focused on saying, give us everything you got. And yet through our investment, they're realizing that doesn't impact eternity. And they're wrestling with this. Do I quit my job? I mean, two of them said that. I'm like, okay, don't quit today. You know, let's figure this out. Your wife will be calling me, you know. But I'm glad that, you know, that says something is churning inside of them.
Yeah.
They realize I want to make a difference for eternity. And they're wrestling with that. But that vision keeps cutting through all the haze of distractions that are coming at you.
Makes it relevant and urgent, right?
Yeah.
I had lunch this week with a guy, or dinner this week with a guy who's kind of in a similar boat. Maybe he's trying to figure this out. And I said, this tension's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Let this tension keep seeding itself out, because it is what's going to continue to drive that motivation. And I think tension helps to really raise that level of urgency. Because you have to wrestle that out with the Spirit of God and realize, hey, I also am beginning to realize that, man, maybe my career, though it's what God is using to provide for my family, where the real joy of life lives is impacting eternity.
And I think, you know, as you're casting this compelling vision as a leader, I think part of what you guys have both mentioned in two different instances, you guys as leaders model that very well. Like, you're doing that individually too. It's not just, are you casting vision every time you talk? It's no, when you're leading, you're modeling that, just like the story you shared, Craig, of putting your arms around, you know, that's casting vision. And that's, you're modeling that for the next generation. Glenn, you were always, and you've said it multiple times as we've been talking, you know, that this is the greatest cause, you know, don't you want to be a part of the greatest cause? This, you know, all just phrases like that you can even start to share with your team, share with, and just model that up. That's vision cast. It's not always this formal vision
right.
casting thing. It's really, again, lifting everyone's eyes up to the greater cause.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking about a guy I discipled way, way, way back, and I remember taking him overseas and saying, hey, get your Bible out real quick. And so he gets his Bible out. And of course, we've been working on Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20. He was putting it to memory. And I said, read it out loud. So he starts reading it out loud. And he gets to the part, make disciples. But it says, you know, therefore go make disciples among the nations. And all of a sudden he stops and he goes, I'm overseas. I'm helping to perpetuate a movement of disciple making among the nations. And I could see this light bulb go off, like in his head, like click. And I think he got intrinsically motivated because it was casting that vision of, hey, you're getting to live your life. And he was very successful in his job and was doing great things, good family man. But then he was like, man, but this is it. I mean, I want to be a part of this. This is what I want to give my life, my real life to. Even though I have other responsibilities, this is where, and I think it motivated him, because I've even heard him talk about that, how the significance of that event kind of changed the course of his thinking and motivation to keep at it.
Yeah, that's really good.
And I think about Jerry Fine, you know, I mean, the guy that discipled me. I remember him sitting me down one time, and this, I am so compelled by this. I mean, it is what I think about all the time. He said, I have prayed that God would raise up 12 men who I invested in, and he's invested in hundreds of people. I just pray that God will raise up 12 lifelong disciple makers. Mm. And I remember him saying that, and I remember my heart being so stirred to say, Lord, if I could be one of those 12.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you put that in me to be one of those 12? I want to be one of those 12 that will do that for. And he was just casting vision.
Yeah, that's right. But, he was.
But he
stirred
me deep down.
Yeah.
And then he'd always say, you know, he'd say, hey, you remember, an undisciplined life is a wasted life, and a wasted life is a disobedient life.
Yeah.
And he'd just keep pushing that out in front of me. And I think probably from every, you know, those whole 18 months he was pouring into me, I keep probably used that 12 illustration probably 10, 15 times, yeah. But he was casting vision, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's had a life of that, and he's led a life of that, over 50 years of investment. Yeah. I would probably say the 12 is short-sighted. Yeah. And even if you start looking generation, I mean, I'm looking around the podcast room in here, I think all four of us could trace part of our spiritual journey back to him. I mean, I know he was speaking probably directly, hey, 12 men that I'm, but man, I would say 12 is pretty low, knowing the consistency and him staying at it and being motivated for a long season. All right, so you said five. So that was one, casting a compelling vision. That really helps us stay motivated. What's the next one, Glenn?
Yeah, I think the second one would be providing what I would call practical training and tools. And what I mean by that is occasionally I think it's really good to pull aside your proven multipliers and offer workshops or seminars, things that are going to help them develop skills and competencies and really give them confidence that they need to continue to disciple others. I think we just think, oh, well, hey, you should just, I mean, motivation is a part of it. I think ongoing training helps to continue to fan that flame, to give you the motivation to keep at it, because you're continuing to develop your skill sets as a disciple maker.
Yeah.
If I were still at where I was 25 years ago as a disciple maker, but I've grown and I've had opportunity to develop new skills and learn how to take on things. Like, how do you have a conversation with someone who's not working out right away? How do you walk through that? How do you invite people into a group? All kinds of different things. What do you do when a guy's wiping out in sin? How do you handle that? I mean, or even asking, what are some things that you as disciple makers, proven multipliers, need to be more successful? And then addressing those in some sort of a workshop, seminar, video training, whatever. And then honestly, tools. I love to give proven multipliers little books, little resources, things that stuff from Dawson Trotman on Born to Reproduce, just little booklets, little things that keep stoking that flame to keep at it.
Yeah. Yeah, you did a great job. I'll say you did a great job. I guess I can say that. You did a great job of really doing that by gathering some of us initially that, hey, we took that call seriously. We took that investment that was made into us and started multiplying that, and then would gather us periodically. And again, it wasn't anything super formal or any, it was very relational. It was very, and it wasn't super heavy or daunting. It was just that it was, hey, this is a great tool to kind of stack on top of the other things you've been given. There is encouragement. There is prayer. Hey, now we have a group of peers. Mm. We're all in this together. But using those little trainings, tools, opportunities, you don't have to write something. There's so many great tools out there, so many great resources out there, or even, hey, let's go to a conference. Let's go and take us somewhere and take your multipliers out somewhere. And hey, let's go learn together again. Another time to pour into them, cast vision, but also equip them with further skills.
And it was interesting when you get them all together, they you tend to like inspires like, right? I mean, they were all in the same like-minded and you're like, oh yeah, and it just, again, it's continued to stoke that flame.
Yeah. So Craig, how have you done that with have you been successful with the different teams you lead of different leaders or even in your personal investment that have worked real well?
I think with, tools regarding that, I think books mostly is what I would refer to them. But also, we have, this is not really a plug, but for the blog that we put out, I think that is also a great tool that if you're not on the blog, you can get those right now. But these are just little short couple of paragraph blogs that have just a thought concept coming from Disciple First. And our guys really love seeing that because they're getting it on a regular basis. And these are just little teasers, reminders of why we do what we do. And sometimes they have a little practical edge to them. Sometimes they're inspirational, so they're kind of mixed up. But I find that to be a very useful, inspiring piece along the way.
That's really good. Yeah. For me, again, personally, confidence is key. If I, as a disciple maker and as a multiplier, if I feel equipped and confident to the job that I'm, you look at it like a job, if that's what I'm being asked to do or encouraged to do, the more confident I am in that or equipped or encouraged to do that, the better, you know, if I'm not that, I'm going to freeze.
And by the way, this is a, this podcast is a great thing that you can forward to. Yeah. This is a tool. You can just forward to all the guys you're discipling, all the people you're discipling, have them listen to it. Talk about it. These are great things to you can use to discuss.
Yeah.
You know, I think, Ben, you know, just again, I want to piggyback on something you said, because a lot of our stuff was very informal.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and I think sometimes we get caught in this trap that it has to be super formal. Now, there are times when we do some formalized gatherings.
Yeah.
In this practical training piece. But there is something really cool. I'll never forget when we did two things that were pretty informal. We did a little camp out one time with a bunch of guys. Yep. You remember? And you were a part of that.
Yeah.
And we slept out in all those stickers everywhere.
Got stickers in the tent.
We're still getting them all out. And but we gave a coin.
Yeah, challenge coin.
And we made this challenge. And I remember that. And then one time we gathered some guys that were in our spiritual tree, and we handed out batons with 2 Timothy 2:2 on there and just said, hey, stay at it. And it was a visual for them to be constantly looking at, right? Again, those are practical trainings and tools that help, but it can be done totally informally and super cheap, but you can get a lot of leverage out of it.
Yeah. But just thinking about it, right? Just thinking, what are some things I could do with my guys that inspire them? I remember the early days. I mean, when I was really early on, I think Gibson was a part of that. We went to New Mexico and just went fly fishing. But he always remembers this picture of him and two or three other guys. And one other guy went on to do, both the other two guys went on to do Christian education, meaning leading Christian schools and that kind of thing. So they're all involved in ministry, but they would look to that trip and that picture that we made in front of this house as a real inspiring element. So just what can I do? I remember one time I took a group of guys mountain climbing and we climbed all the way up to the top of this mountain. Then we did a little vision casting thing on the top, you know, just moments, not tools. Yes, and training, yes, but also just kind of moments that solidify the call in their mind is very, very memorable and helpful for them moving forward.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's what even makes the third step. I think a lot of what we're talking about too, this informally inside of it, is creating community.
Yeah.
A community of like-minded, men and women who really share that sense of connection and purpose and support. And it really does help to to continue to know, hey, I'm not the only one. I'm not on an island. I have a place that when I feel these internal and external pressures, I can go to and say, hey, I'm struggling a bit. Can I get some help? I need you to speak into me, speak life into me, because I'm fanning quick,
right?
Or I'm in a difficult season, or hey, I'm going to get potentially disqualified because I've got some sin in my life that's really weighing heavy on me, right? So I think, again, this element, this third step of just creating a community of disciple makers. Can I just say this too? I think we get too short-sighted. Maybe that's a better way to say it. I don't want to just make disciples. I want to make disciple makers.
Yeah.
And again, I know the word is to make a disciple who makes a disciple, but I Jerry used to always say, Glenn, you think too little and too short if you're just always thinking about making a disciple. You should always be prayerfully and expectantly on this idea of making disciple makers.
It's so good. You know, that multiplying effect is really what's going to change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this was what was in the early church, right? They multiplied churches, they multiplied disciples. And so we have to model that on ourselves, that we are multiplying and challenging our leaders and the people we're investing in to do the same.
Yeah, and I think because of all the distractions, all the things, that's the important, to me, out of this list, really creating community is one of the main drivers for consistency. Yep. You can think about it in physical training. You have a training partner, running partner, can run further with someone than you can yourself. You know, I think of Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, where it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I mean, there is a power of community. And I think, how do you take that community more from just your Sunday school groups or your men's groups and creating a community of disciple makers? I think that is powerful.
Yeah. And you don't have to get together all the time, but I do know, hey, there were times, I mean, I remember we'd have groups come over to our house on Friday nights and, you know, Jared and Mary would show up and talk about making, you know, life decisions based on God's word and promises. And then we'd sit around and we'd say, hey, what are some struggles you guys are facing? What are some things as disciple makers that are, you know, and people would just start just sharing what was heavy on their heart and what was stalling them out. And we'd pray over them and we'd, you know, we'd say, hey, don't get discouraged, stay at it. And you're right, Ben. I think there is, if I think about all of these five, this one probably has a lot of fuel mm-hmm. to really helping people stay motivated. Because yeah. when you get around other people who are saying, hey, I'm struggling too, or hey, what did you do to overcome that? Or how, and it locks arms and you say, man, I'm not in this by myself.
Yeah. And this conversation, it kind of gets me fired up. I'm ready to go. Let's go grab some guys and start, you know, encouraging them and pouring into them. I want to take a real quick break, and then we want to hit the other two before we wrap up. Okay.
Yep.
Imagine what it would look like to be part of a movement. Imagine raising up church leaders. Imagine launching disciple-making churches all over the world. Imagine you being a part of growing God's kingdom far beyond your own city. Well, you don't have to imagine, it's happening, and you can get involved. The Cross Creek Network is a church planting network committed to planting disciple-making churches in cities like Las Vegas, New York, Montreal, Lusaka, and entire regions like Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. If your heart's desire is to plant churches that make disciples and multiply, then join us. Together, we can make a difference that lasts for eternity. To find out more, go to crosscreeknetwork.com. That's crosscreeknetwork.com.
All right, we're back to this episode about motivating multipliers because fruitfulness is really hard. You know, I think you all multiple times have encouraged me to say, you know, relationships are messy. And so, you know, disciple making is all about relationships. And so we're right in the middle of these five proven steps to staying motivated. And really, you know, as Glenn and Craig walk us through these, this is, as a church, how are you grouping your multipliers together and keeping them motivated? So we've talked about casting a compelling vision, keeping that in front of them, and providing practical training tools, and then also the power of community, just creating this community among your multipliers, and what a great environment that is to keep them hot-hearted, keep them working at it in spite of frustrations they may hit. Glenn, what's the fourth one?
Yeah, the fourth step would be to celebrate milestones and successes. And what I really mean by that is that, you know, I think we should be, as disciple-making leaders, regularly recognizing and celebrating those steps that are happening. Because then you're celebrating the right things, the important things, the necessary things. And whether that's a person coming to faith in Christ or one of your disciples, you know, I remember I took a group of guys, this was early on here at our church, and many of them weren't reading the Bible on a regular basis, right? And I remember when one of them said, man, I've actually for the very first time read God's word for 6 straight days. Mm. He was talking to the group about it, and he goes, and we just were like, "What?" We part, you know, it was just that step of success. It was a milestone for him because he'd not ever even, you know, done that. And I think, again, the more we can celebrate these milestones, not only on a private level, even with, you know, when you're meeting with a disciple who may be, you know, struggling and continuing to be a multiplier, you know, celebrate. Let's look at some of the things we can celebrate that God's done. Mm-hmm. As you remember that person, because a lot of times I think where I see most of my guys get demotivated is they have a group that gets really hard.
Yeah.
And guys aren't showing up, or they're not, you know, they're not doing their stuff. And then the discipler is like, what's wrong with me? What did I do wrong?
Right, yeah.
What am I not doing right? And so I'm obviously not supposed to do this, or life gets super busy, or they get tangled up in something and get distracted, as we've been talking about. But again, going back and saying, okay, let's talk about what God has done.
Yeah.
What's God done not only in your life, but in some lives of other guys you've poured your life into? Don't forget about that.
Yeah.
Stay at it. It matters, because they just need that encouragement and support, emotional support at times.
You know, when you think about as a church, we've even played around with how do we celebrate multipliers, you know, in a public setting.
Yeah.
And I would say we've done that sometimes better than others. It's a little hard because your multipliers don't really want recognition for it. You know, yeah. They're like, we're not in this to get a trophy of some kind. And so I think that is a little attention that we have with how do we do that. But I think you can create, it doesn't have to be in front of the whole church, but you know, you can create environments where these milestones are celebrated when you lead your first group, you know, and you complete your first group, man, here's a way to celebrate that. Or you know, if you get to share the gospel with somebody, here's a way to celebrate that. And just create celebration within your group. And then maybe in this community of disciple makers, you can create opportunities to celebrate because everybody's after the same thing there for sure.
Yeah.
This might border on vision, but I think it's celebrating. I have a picture from when we were in Zambia, and we for years would go and disciple and train other disciple makers year after year after year after year. And I have a picture of all these guys, you know, several generations of men who've discipled, and then they would bring, because we would do this deal where, hey, we're going to disciple you. And then they would go out and work it, and we'd come back and we'd say, now bring those guys with you. And we took a picture. So we have all these and I sometimes will just look at that picture and just celebrate those steps that some of those guys took and realize, hey, those are steps that they took for the sake of the kingdom. And I got to be a small part of doing that, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, I took a picture. In fact, I took a picture not long ago of you, Ben, and myself and a couple other guys. I think of it as the fourth generation kind of a deal.
Yeah.
And I often look at it just as for a personal reminder, when I get discouraged a little bit, to stay at it and say, hey, God, you're doing great things. I just sometimes don't see it or know what's going on. You know, I even just got done with a group of guys I've been pouring my life into and thinking, man, what did I really make an impact with these guys, Lord? And one of them comes back and says, hey, I just want you to know that this grow group, I think maybe God might be calling me to ministry. Well, he never mentioned one thing about that during our grow group, right? So, I can't overstate the importance of celebrating those milestones and successes. No matter small or big they are, celebrate them.
And I want to just talk to very briefly here the person listening that is discouraged. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you're here and you're like, man, I feel just like what Glenn just said. I'm investing in people and I don't see any change at all. Just know that most of the time God is at work doing things that you don't see on the outside. And there have been many occasions where I thought, oh, that was totally a bust group, or I may have wasted my time, only to find out later how God was working that person's life. Or maybe not immediately, but then a couple of years later, God encountered them again, and it was because of their investment that he was moving the ball forward in their life. And so I think this is why heaven's heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, we get to celebrate all these stories, right? And you see all the connections and the influence that you had that you could not have seen here on earth. And so I just say, don't get discouraged. You know, just stay at it. You know, stay planting the seeds, stay investing in people. You're investing not, like I said, not just in men, but in generations, and trust that it's the work of God that's going to do it. It's not just you. It's not a reflection on you. It's the work of God that's going to do this. And if you will stay faithful and continue on, there will be a harvest as a result, if you will stay and not quit. Yeah.
And I take a lot of solace in all the farming illustrations, planting, reaping, you know, tilling the hard soil, because that farming is difficult. Farming is hard. So I think that I take that as an encouragement. Hey, there are things that I'm doing now that I may not ever see until this side of heaven. Mm. But again, as a leader, as a church, if you're encouraging multipliers, I would just, when it comes to celebrating, I've often heard it say an organization celebrates what they value, and what you celebrate gets done. Mm. So find ways, creative ways, intimate ways, personal ways, but celebrate what you value and what you want to get done, especially as fruitfulness, celebrate it. So Glenn, what's the fifth one?
So the last step is this idea of encouraging prayer, what we're calling encouraging prayer and reflection. And again, just this idea that really multipliers, when there's a sense of distraction or discouragement, internal or external struggles that tension that they're feeling, where do we really, should we always be going back to? And that's back to the Spirit of God. Spirit, you're the one that, you know, that really changed me in the first place, that helped me see this idea of being and building disciples for a lifetime. I tell my guys, the greatest thing you can do is to be praying for more opportunity. Be praying for God to give you boldness in making disciples, not to push back, but to push forward, to give you just a steadfastness to this. And I think sometimes we forget that, this idea of prayer. And it's really one of the greatest resources we have as disciples for making disciples is this idea of prayer and reflection because then it becomes a personal step of growth. And sometimes as I'm trying to motivate a multiplier, I'm just like, well, let's just stop and let's just pray this. Let's pray about this.
Yeah.
Because I think it's needed, and it is where things move. It's where the kingdom of God moves, is when we pray.
You know, I think about, as you were saying that, how many times did Jesus retreat in prayer? Mm. And I'm sure he was frustrated at times, like, you knuckleheads, you know, I'm investing in you guys and you still don't you understand?
Don't you get it?
You know, and you could almost see that. And yet he was constantly retreating to be with his Father. And it was in the presence of his Father that he was refueled and re-energized to be back in it again. And if Jesus needed prayer, how much more do we, right?
Yeah, I remember a time I told Jerry, I was done, I'm just done. And he said, well, you probably need to go pray about that. And I'm like,
talking about that.
Yeah, you're right. I probably do. There's probably a heart issue I just think we can't underestimate the value of prayer and reflection with our disciple makers to go back to what really moves God's heart.
And I think really encouraging, you know, your people that it is about abiding. It is about staying connected. And I mean, you know, early on, I'd gone through a couple of generations or a couple of groups of guys, and really, you know, I think it was early on I was learning a lot, but at the same time, my expectation was, oh, these guys are going to have the same experience I did. I mean, I had a really dramatic experience for the first time somebody invested in me, and God did some amazing things. So I'm like, well, that should happen to everybody I'm invested. Well, I don't, and had a lot of people like, thanks, that was good, but you know, they weren't as impacted as I was. And so I was pretty frustrated, and really just in my own reflection time, as you guys are saying, hey, this is key for you to staying in the game is staying connected. And so I was just walking with God and just, you know, kind of crying out to him, he reminded me that the results weren't mine. It was abide. He took me to John 15.
Yeah.
Like abide, abide, abide. That's my job. Now, do I need to obey and invest in other people? Yeah, but the fruit of that is not for me to worry about. That's his job. And as long as I abide and as long as I obey, then I'm good. And it was just a gentle reminder, hey, you're worried about something that's not even your responsibility. Mm-hmm. So, but man, this is a great conversation. I really do think this, we've talked to a couple of churches this spring, especially that have been at this for a while from a church level and really trying to develop the disciple makers. And I think keeping them motivated is one of the things, hey, how do I do that? What does that look like? For us, you know, on the episode notes or the show notes of this episode for the podcast, we have these five steps for you to download. So just go on there as reminders, kind of a listening guide. But again, reach out to us. Reach out for coaching at disciplefirst.com. You can do that, and we can talk through how to build a pattern. How do you build rhythms of, you know, casting vision and just staying in front of them? Or maybe we can help you search for some real quality tools to put, you know, to encourage ongoing your disciple makers. But what I would say, though, it's worth it. It's worth keeping at it. There are lives at stake. And, you know, so if you're out there listening and you're discouraged and, man, I just got to get these people to stay together, I would just encourage you, keep at it. And again, I just really want to thank Glenn and Craig for their wisdom, their encouragement today. Because again, I've experienced it personally. They're keeping me motivated. So I appreciate you guys sharing with pastors today.
You bet. It's an honor to do it.
Thank you, Ben.
Well, thank you again for listening to another episode of the Disciple Making Leader podcast. We hope that it's encouraging. And again, we our prayer is that you would stay motivated to make and multiply disciples like Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Disciple Making Leader podcast, brought to you by Disciple First. We hope today's episode has been both helpful and challenging in your journey to becoming a disciple-making leader. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button to make sure you hear the next episode. And if you have a moment, we'd love to hear your thoughts. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends. Until next time, keep making Jesus the model for your life and ministry.